Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. You know, as Christians, we are called by Jesus to be fishers of men. But one fact that we do not remember sometimes is that Satan is also a fisher of men. He would love nothing more than to lure you and me into a life of sin. We have all been faced with temptations in the past, and believe me, we'll be faced with temptations in the future. And as the text teaches us, Jesus was tempted by Satan. The difference between Jesus and us is that Jesus was never hooked. He never took the bait. He never grabbed hold of the lure. He never sinned. But unfortunately, we quite often succumb to Satan's temptations. Now, successful fishermen have learned several helpful facts concerning the art of fishing. First, always fish where you know there are fish. Second, know the condition of the place where you will be fishing. Third, determine what bait the fish are biting. And fourth, be persistent. Now, Satan, being a good fisherman, uses these tactics when he is fishing. Now, Satan is not omnipresent like God is. Therefore, he is not everywhere at the same time. So he has to decide where and when he is going to fish for men. And once he arrives at the location, he decides which lure he believes will work, whether it's drug or sex or money or power, wealth. And then he goes to work. And believe me, as all of us probably know, Satan is persistent. He doesn't throw out that bait once or twice and then walk away. He's persistent once he starts fishing for men. And our task as Christians is to be victorious over that sinful temptation and not to be one of Satan's catches. And our text will serve as a guide as to how to be successful in avoiding Satan's lures. And I invite you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And I invite you to follow along as I read Luke 4, 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. As we all know, Satan tempts us at different points in our life. And let us consider looking at our text several times in our lives when Jesus tempts us. Satan often tempts us after an intense spiritual experience. Matthew states that the temptations of Jesus by Satan occurred immediately after Jesus was baptized. And as Jesus came out of the water, he received the approval of God his Father, who said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Surely this was an intense spiritual experience for Jesus. And you can imagine when one of us undergoes an intense spiritual experience, whether it be the Holy Spirit has convicted us to accept Jesus as our Savior, whether it be we have been baptized after confessing that we accept Jesus as our Savior, we can realize that often he or she undergoes an intense spiritual experiences feels a special relationship with God. This is natural, and this relationship provides a sense of invincibility. In fact, it can sometimes be a time of more vulnerability than invincibility for such a person. They feel such an overwhelming presence of God, they feel like that nothing can harm them. And that's when temptation from Satan often occurs. Satan often tempts us during times of physical weakness. We are told in our text that Jesus stayed in the deserts 40 days without food while being tempted by Satan. You can imagine the physical stress that was placed upon Jesus' body. Withholding food and water is a time-honored method of breaking a person physically and mentally to obtain intelligence during warfare. And Satan tempts us often during those times of physical sickness, or when the body is weak from hunger or thirst, and we become so vulnerable at such times, as you can imagine. Satan often tempts us during times when we are alone. We know that Jesus was alone during his time of being tempted by Satan. None of the disciples were in the desert were with him. None of his followers were there to support him. He was alone. And when we are alone, temptation often occurs. Satan begins to whisper to us the things that he can give us, the things that we want as a human being, those secular, earthly desires he offers to fulfill in order to tempt us. Well, next we should realize that Satan uses many lures to attempt to hook us. He gives us offer of wealth and power and fame and all those things that the weak human being desires. In an attempt to hook us and have us as one of his prize catches. And what is the Satan's lures designed to accomplish? They're designed to convince us, of course, to sin against God. In our text, Satan was attempting to convince Jesus to sin against God, his Father. Why did he want Jesus to sin against God? Because by doing so, Jesus would not be the sinless, pure, ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Throughout the temptation, Satan attempts to convince Jesus to bypass the cross by which he would save all believing mankind. He knew if he could get Jesus to short-circuit the cross, then all mankind would be lost and would spend eternity in hell paying for their sins. Satan's lures are designed to convince us to doubt our relationship with God. I know we feel like sometimes nothing can shake our relationship. You know, we go to a worship service and we invigorate it and the Holy Spirit fills us and the message resonates in our hearts, or we go to an evangelistic meeting, or we go to a revival, or we go to a praise and worship song service, and we just feel like, you know, bring on Satan. I can handle him. Nothing can shake my relationship with God. But Satan, that's his ultimate goal, is to disrupt or get us to doubt our relationship with God. Because by doing so, we become independent of God. And when we become independent of God, we don't rely on Him to meet our needs. We begin to rely on ourselves, thinking that we can successfully govern our lives, rule our lives, handle our lives successfully, deal with all the heartache and pain and hurt, and deal with all the sorrow, and deal with all the problems of relationships with family and friends and co-workers. And Satan knows that if he can get us to cut those ties with God, if he can get us to disrupt that relationship, he's basically got the hook, the lure in our mouth. Notice the first temptation of Jesus in verses 3 and 4. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God." Satan attempts to cast doubt upon Jesus' very identity and relationship with his Father. He does that to us. You know, if you are a child of God, you know that God won't mind if you do this. You know that you can handle this because you are a child of God. You don't need to call on Him. And again, the devil said, "Tell this stone to become bread." He didn't say to Jesus, "Pray to your Father in heaven to provide you bread to sustain you." He tempted Jesus to take matters into his own hands and provide for his own needs. The devil hates any humility and dependence that we have upon God. He loves to tell us of our own self-sufficiency. And too often, egotistical that we are, we believe that and go off on a path on our own. We're going to solve our problems and all of those around us without the help of God. And we just end up, hopefully we end up not too late on our knees saying, "Lord, forgive me. I can't handle it on my own." So the goal of Satan is to get us tempted, and by doing that, he wants to sever our relationship to God, to cut off our dependence on Him. And then basically he can convince us of anything once we take God out of the equation. Jesus remained unhooked by Satan because he resisted the temptations. That sounds simplistic, but in fact, that's what it was as regards Jesus resisting. And in this one aspect of resisting temptation, Jesus said no. And in that aspect, the world teaching of just to say no is correct. Remember when that started back with Mrs. Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson's wife? She started the campaign of just say no. No, was it Ms. Reagan, I think? Yeah, that started the campaign to just say no. But this world answer to temptation falls short because it doesn't teach us the next point, which is we must be ready and prepared for the temptation as Jesus was. Jesus quoted from Scripture saying, "It is written," and he was referring to God's word. It's amazing that Jesus resisted and answered all of the temptations of Satan with the phrase, "It is written." But not only was Jesus the living word of God, God's word lived in him. Jesus overcame the evil one by referring and using God's word. The second temptation in verses 5 through 7, the devil showed Jesus all the splendor, beauty, glory, power, magnificence, grandeur, and luxury of the world and offered it to Jesus if he would but do as Satan asked. And Jesus warded off this temptation and conquered the devil with abhorrence and detestation. If we're ever going to win the battle against Satan, one of the things we must do is to ask God to give us a holy detestation of sin, for us to detest it to the extent we cannot bear the thought of it. To have that type of resolve and that type of resistance to sin, we need to call upon God to give us that type of detestation of sin. And then in the third temptation in verses 9 through 12, the devil tempts Jesus to presume upon the promise of God his Father. If Jesus had purposely sinned by throwing himself down from the temple, he would have been testing God's promise to not let him fall to the ground and be injured. But Jesus didn't succumb to that temptation. You know, our message this morning can be summed up by the teaching of Paul found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13, a verse familiar to every one of you, but listen to it in this context as we talk about resisting the devil. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Well, I ask you today, fellow Christians, how are we dealing with temptation? Have we been hooked? Have we looked at the lure of Satan and found it dazzling and shimmering in the glow of the water of sin and just could not resist taking a bite? Is he reeling us in? Is he reeling you in? Is he reeling someone in your family in? If so, we need to be reminded that Jesus provided the blueprint for victory over temptation by using God's word as our shield and as our sword to fight against the devil, to know what God's word says so that we can recall it to memory when we find ourselves in times of temptation. We know how to do it. We just need to put it in place. And if you haven't professed your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you to do so today, we invite you to come forward and say, yes, I am a sinner, but I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I know He has, and I want to serve Him. I want to be able to resist the temptations that Satan puts in the way. We're not going to always be successful, but we know that when we stumble and fall, Jesus is there to catch us and say, come, my child, I forgive you. I love you. I'll help you get through this and get you on the right path. We invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 320.